Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It's I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay. We are up super early this morning. Van, you still got your morning voice. You're a little groggy. You're a little groggy. But shout out to Van. He's accommodating my schedule. I messed up with the Eastern time, Pacific time. I would get on Van for this. He's taking it in stride. Van and Donnie. Well, Donnie don't count because he's on East Coast. It's not early for him. It's early for Van. He woke up. He's a team player. I'm shouting you out, Van.
Thank you. Donnie looks like he's sitting on this porch smoking a Marlboro Red or something like that. Look at
jump on Donnie. Jump on Donnie.
Jump on Donnie. Please, Donnie.
not holding the chin.
It's because I'm in the sun. Normally it's evening time and the sun is behind the house. So I think that's contributing to the look. And this is in the morning. I haven't gotten my full bearing. So Van's got the gravelly voice. I got the Marlboro Reds.
Donnie looks like he got the coffee out there, the Marlboro Red. It looks cool. It looks like you look like somebody's dad right now.
You do look like somebody's dad. Hey,
your daddy out there on the porch. Now you know that's his time. Leave him alone now.
Yeah.
Where you gotta go? Where you gotta go? What's your problem?
I gotta go to Florida for a wedding. One of my friends, because sometimes you do make friends from the bachelor world, is getting married. So I'm going to the wedding. She asked me to speak like 3 days ago at the wedding. God, Jesus so it's gonna be fun. It's the same bachelorette party that I went to in Scottsdale earlier this month. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun. I just got to get there. It's one of those things where it's crazy. I just got to get on the flight and everything will be okay. Mm-hmm. But we got a problem.
What's the problem?
This weekend, one of my friends and I, we like to hike. And I've kind of taken a sabbatical from hiking. We all know why.
Yeah.
One of the things about moving to LA that I was really excited about were the hikes. I like to walk my dogs. That's my meditation time. I'm in deep thought. I pretend I'm listening to something. I'm not. It's my time. So we went to a new trail for us, Wisdom Tree. Went on the hike, made it up to the top, saw the Wisdom Tree, saw 360 views of LA. Absolutely beautiful. I took a picture because I was really appreciating the moment. Do you know that my DMs and my comments are flooded with mountain lion content?
They should be.
And I can't stand any of you Thought Warriors, Soulless Jackals, Van Lathan. I'm sick of it. You have ruined what was a beautiful experience for me. People were like, where's your stick? Were you on the lookout? You better watch out for mountain lion. Van, this has got to stop.
No, it can't.
I couldn't believe it. It was a beautiful caption. It was all about, you know, resetting and recharging. And people were like, mountain lion.
Yeah, mountain lion. So look, here's the thing. I did see something that really should give you, because
I saw it, and I don't want to talk about it.
I'm learning about mountain lion too. So apparently, if you see mountain lion, you're probably okay, because if mountain lion was hunting you, you wouldn't even see mountain lion.
Do you realize how terrifying? So mountain lion could have been watching me during the entire hike. I was more worried about rattlesnakes on this trail. I should have been worried about mountain lion, apparently. Do you hike, Van, or do you just do walks now?
I just do walks. I just do walks. And part of the reason why I just... Well, first of all, I never was much of a hiker. I saw these people, these white people at Griffith Park, and they looked like they were living on the edge. You know what I mean? They were hiking, and it was like, what if... What's going to happen here? What if you fall? What if you take a tumble? So I don't like my relaxed time mixed with extreme sports.
Okay.
That's just me. So
the trails are carved out. Like, they're paved out. You don't it's not like that.
Yeah. But I see the one that I walked up was paved off, but then I saw somebody else and they look like fucking Spider-Man. Not for me. I understand. But plus I like urban hikes. I like to walk around, you know, see different people, do whatever, whatever, pop in on a podcast that's outside every now and again, you know. But shout out to those guys. But no, I don't. But also, I think this is good, Rachel. I think all of this is positive. And let me tell you why. You shouldn't just be able to walk in somebody's house unannounced.
Here we go. Here we
you know, go. If I was coming to your beautiful home, okay, your beautiful home, I'd ring the doorbell, I'd make myself known. And, you know, if I didn't do that, people would be like, man, what about Rachel? Is Rachel around? You're in Mountain Lion's home. You're in Mountain Lion's home. People are like, hey, did you say hello to Mountain Lion? Okay. Like, okay. So I think that being aware that you were in the home of Mountain Lion is very positive. It's Mountain Lion's home.
Can't there be an argument made that because I was on actual climbing, but there could be an argument made if I'm on a paved walkway that I'm not in Mountain Lion's home.
No,
I'm on the side. I'm walking the streets. I'm not going into the house. I'm just walking along the street.
I disagree. This is a fundamental disagreement that you and I have. The fundamental disagreement.
Well, I just want you to know you really have ruined a pastime for me. And all you thought warriors too, who I thought. See, Van, this lets you know they are on your side. You like to talk Mm-mm. about the soulless jackals. You like to say that these people don't support you. Mm-mm. Everybody was trolling me about Mountain Lion.
See, this is the thing. They're not on my side.
They're on Mountain Lion's side.
Okay. and that's really...
Donnie,
damn it. and that's the most important thing. We don't have to agree on a lot of things, but what thing we do have to agree on is the time. Do you understand that I don't think it was really us that even got, we are living in
the year of Mountain Lion.
This is the renaissance of Mountain Lion. Like, this is, Mountain Lion has never been this relevant. Like, when we talked about it, we didn't even, I was just, look. We talked about it. So here's the thing. For me, Mountain Lion was really it's anxiety, right? Because I'm looking around, when I go to Griffith Park and stuff, I look around and I'm like, yo, it's a lot of woods out here. Like, when I was in Louisiana, I knew what was in the woods. I'd seen everything you could see in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. See bobcat, see wild turkey, see deer, see everything
wild
you can see.
Terrifying.
See like wild turkey terrifying.
It's terrifying.
When I was a kid, but then when I would see wild turkey when I was like, hey, what's up, wild turkey? You know? But like, I've seen everything you see in the woods. In California, I had seen almost nothing in the woods. Like, you never see nothing. All of these people walking around and all you see are fucking squirrels. There's got to be stuff in here. And I started hanging out at Griffith Park more, playing golf, and I started seeing more stuff. I see owl. I see deer. I see rabbit. I see all of these things, and I'm like, all of these things are, besides the owl, they're prey. There's something else here, something bigger, something more dangerous. And then people start saying, oh, yeah, they're mountain lions. There's a couple of mountain lions up there. And then that's it. Now, I'm looking for a majestic, beautiful creature who roams Griffith Park, like doing its thing in different times of the day. And I was letting you know. But since then, Rachel, we've seen mountain lions in schools. We've seen mountain lions in bathrooms. We've seen mountain lions. It is the fucking age of mountain lion. And
we've
you should
seen them,
be respectful.
We've seen them on roofs.
By the way, I want to say something real quick. I want to say something about that. The picture that has been disseminated of Mountain Lion on a roof is not the picture that we were shown. Okay? The picture that we were shown looked much, much different. When you get up close on it, it doesn't look like Mountain Lion, okay? But from the view that I saw, it looked like the greatest picture of mountain lion that has ever been captured. Okay. So, you know.
I didn't say that. I didn't see that, but sure.
You never, but Rachel, you know.
I was always a doubter on that picture.
Yeah, I know, but you're a doubty type person anyway.
True.
Yeah.
True.
You're a doubty type person.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
So, Kanye West lost $2 billion.
Is that what we're up to right now? $2 billion?
Well, he lost $2 billion from the Adidas deal.
Oh. Gosh, I didn't realize it was that much money.
So, I was saying this earlier, and I don't think that people were either. And we have to talk about this, guys. I know that this is not.
No, we have to talk about
Kanye
it.
Cast, but look,
they get it.
I was, and this is not going to be the big deal of the day. There is no big deal today. We're just talking today. Okay, I wouldn't say that this is the big deal of the day. I'd say this is the thing that people are talking about today. You know what we should do? When we don't have like a really truly big deal, we should like. Just we should call this segment just something to talk about, and then we should play that.
Yeah,
let's give them something.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Who sings it?
How about us? That's not Melissa Etheridge.
No, hold on.
Wow. Melissa Etheridge is come to my window. Something to talk about is I can see her. She's a lady. She's got red hair.
Yeah, correct.
She's got a streak in her hair.
Yes, she does.
I can see her.
Would you like to buy a letter?
Give me a letter.
Initials, first, no, last name.
Just give me something. I can see this lady. I can see her.
B.
B. I don't know why. I was thinking B. Something would say Belinda. No.
Oh, you know it good damn well. It ain't no Belinda.
Bonnie?
Yes.
Bonnie Raitt. Bonnie Raitt.
Yes. Belinda.
I don't know, man. It's like Bonnie Raitt. I can see. It's just early. I could see her. I can see her. You're Bonnie Raitt. Let's give them something. So that's the I like that song, by the way. Then they ended up making a movie called Something to Talk About. By the way, hold on real quick. They don't do that anymore. Like, think about it. Like
When a Man Loves a Woman.
When a Man Loves a Woman. the songs used to get so big that they would then name a movie after the song. Something to Talk About becomes a deal, you know. And then they haven't done that in a long time, because also the songs now are like, they're different, right? What are you gonna call the songs?
WAP,
Stick Talk. You know what I mean? What, you know? Beatbox Challenge.
Stop.
You know, it's different. Like they don't do that anymore. There's several songs that are based on movie titles. Everybody that's listening, come up with your favorite movies, not songs based on movie titles, but movie titles based on songs. Come up with your favorite movies that are based on the name of a popular song. Okay, it's funny. It's funny to do. Anyway, so this is something to talk about. Kanye West lost $1.5 billion. Look, this was my whole thing. I had problems because I know how valuations work, but I didn't know whether or not his valuation was directly tied to his partnership with Adidas, but I assumed that it was. So when he was going around stunting on everybody, talking about how rich he was, I was like, yo, if they drop him, he's not going to be a billionaire anymore. But that looks like that's what's happened. There's been a slew of companies to distance himself from Kanye West. The lost partnerships with The Gap, Balenciaga, Adidas, CAA ended his relationship with him. There's a shelved documentary with him. Aaron Donald, Jaylen Brown, both left Donda Sports. Everyone is running from Kanye West, including Adidas, and the loss of his deal with Adidas changed the valuation of his company, if there is a company, and now Kanye West went from being worth around $2 billion to being worth around the sad, still incredibly rich sum of around $400 million. So everyone's like, oh, Kanye West is a guy still worth $400 million. There is an issue here. All of this comes on the heels of Kanye West, of course, very dangerous, disparaging, and disgusting comments about the Jewish community.
Yes.
There are many who are wondering why Kanye's anti-blackness and his disparaging comments about the black community did not warrant such a cancellation, if you will, or stiff penalties by people. Rachel, are you one of those people?
I will say this is a hard, not hard to talk about, but there's a fine line here because I don't want to make it seem like I'm being insensitive to the Jewish community by any means. But I would say, I don't know how you can't think about how for years Kanye has been saying anti-black things. I mean, back in like 2015, he said racism is outdated. You know, obviously he talked about slavery being a choice most recently with the White Lives Matter. And then also his disparaging remarks regarding George Floyd. He has constantly attacked black people, the black community, and put out messages that were anti-black. Yet, although people condemned him, there wasn't this movement in the same way of brands and corporations and agencies and lawyers disassociating themselves with him. But I think that there's so many different ways that you can look at it. I mean, you could say it's a culmination of this. It's that plus now his attack against the Jewish community. You could say he was not just talking bad about Jewish people. He was talking about killing them. Like that's another level. You could say, and this is something that popped up in my mind as well. Did people also not take it as seriously or react in the same way because he was a black person talking about black people? I understand the discourse. I actually think it's very interesting, but I'm not one of those people who's upset that corporations are now distancing themselves and everybody distancing themselves for Kanye on the heels of his anti-Semitism. I'm not one of those people, but I do think that there's a conversation to talk about why was there not this strong. Oh, I know my point. No, why there wasn't this strong of a reaction when he was talking about his own community and his own people. And another thing you could say that a reason you could say possibly that that's not the case is because the people who were being talked about in such a hateful way weren't holding him accountable.
Ding, ding, ding. So a couple of things here. Number one, it should be known that Adidas put their relationship with Kanye West, at least Adidas, under review following the White Lives Matter t-shirt. So following the White Lives Matter t-shirt, Adidas did put their relationship with Kanye West under review. Not sure if they would have gotten rid of him, but that is something
that was for sure.
Something to be said. Okay. So we have an internal dialogue. hmm. There are a lot of us, right? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of black people. 40 million mm-hmm. black people. Mm-hmm. The Jewish community is a smaller group of people. And being that they're a smaller group of people, there are probably certain edicts that, at least I'm not going to in any way speak like they all, like all Jewish people in the country get along, or not all Jewish people in the country are on the same page with everything. I think things like that are sometimes overstated, but I will say that a smaller group of people understands the big red flags when they see them. Okay. Mm-hmm. Black people, much larger group of people. And what the state of blackness in America is a much more complex trauma than it is in some other places. And what I mean by that is that America has given black Americans so many different versions of why we're in the situation that we are, so many different explanations as to why we're in the situation that we are, that sometimes we are still discussing between each other which ones of those things are true and which ones of those things are false. You have a group of black Americans out there that believe that since we've been in America, capitalism and white supremacy have been two ogres that have beat us about the head and patrolled our every single move and pulled the rug out from under us whenever we got a solid, firm standing in this country. And it's been intentional, and it's used all types of tactics. It's used the tactics of usury through contract buying schemes and swindling. It's used the term of just straight up economic unfairness in situations like redlining, the access to loans, things like that. It's been political in terms of suppressing mm-hmm. black votes. It's been emotional in terms of the way our women are portrayed and the way we're portrayed in mass media. It's been actually physical through white terrorism. It's just been in a complete 360 of pain and mm-hmm. despair. But then mm-hmm. there are also other people in black America who say that that's not true, that that's a figment of our imagination, and that we haven't had it much different than other immigrant groups. And if we did, it was so long ago that it's not worth mentioning now. That, you know, since the time that America has come into its adolescence, things have been routinely fair. And because of that, black people should stop blaming, stop talking, stop harping, and get back on that horse that we were never on in the first place. So, and by the way, those conversations are real, and they're not as far out there as you guys think they are. That's another reason why it's important to talk to people who are just living their lives. Because when you talk to people who are just living their lives, people who don't spend their every single waking moment enriching themselves with historical knowledge or with contemporary knowledge, you hear all kinds of stuff. You hear people say, yeah, man, that was a long time ago. You hear people go, well, slavery was a choice, but listen to what he's trying to say. And you realize that there are a lot more people out there than you think that there are. And that should inspire you to be even more educated, to be even louder, and to be more collected in how it is that you view this country and our state in it. I say all of that to say that Kanye West really was speaking for a lot of those people. And as much as we don't want to admit it, slavery was a choice, all of that stuff, that started a lot of conversations. In this particular situation, I'm going to pull a little bit of rank because I got those people reaching out to me. I got people telling me that I wasn't smart enough to understand what Kanye West was saying. And And to be honest with you, I didn't get them in 2018 and then it stopped. I get it all the time. Like, all the time. So if people
can
are wondering-
Can I ask you a question about that?
Sure, go ahead.
Do you think, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt your thought, but no, okay. Do you think that people, I totally agree with everything that you're saying. We've had people like that on the podcast. Do you think that that thought was in people always? And I'm sure it wasn't some, but do you think that that thought grew and became more widespread with people, with Kanye having such influence, having such a platform, saying that, already being labeled a genius, even if it was in a musical sense or in artistry form, and saying, listen to him, he's free. Because that's the kind of stuff people say, he's free. He's really thinking. Do you think that him doing that really caused people to latch on to that school of thought and continue to talk that way?
Now, I'm not going to give him that much credit because I've heard this. Okay. I've heard this in many different ways, right? I've heard this in many different ways. For example, when you heard one of your uncles back in the day, it's like when we was growing up, it was a white man that was lynching us. Now y'all out there killing each other. Like y'all is y'all niggas out there killing each other. Not understanding that, in a sense, white supremacy is killing black people when it's gangs killing gangs. White supremacy is killing black people when it's the Ku Klux Klan killing black men. There's systems and structures that put people in situations and bring the worst out of them, especially when they're in the survival matrix. And if you're taking the long view of these things, changing those systems or destroying them or building new systems is the only way to affect outcomes in people. So I've heard different versions of this, right? It's essentially, you're looking at far-right, pro-white supremacy talking points that sometimes are echoed by black people, and they don't even know that they're doing it, okay? So say all that to say this. That conversation is viable in our community. We have it with each other all the time. It's a conversation of how much of our lot are we responsible for. This is a real conversation that's had. I don't know very many Jews who ever negotiate, volley around, delve into how responsible they are for pogroms, for the Holocaust, or for any of the attitudes that people have about them. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
I've never in life heard them, well, maybe they got a point. Maybe the Nazis had a point. Maybe so-and-so had a point. I never hear them do that. Now, once again, we're talking about a much smaller group, right? We're talking about a much smaller group with less of a legacy in America when it comes to the actually forming and I don't want to talk about something I don't know about. What I'm telling you is that black people have been an integral part of the beginning of this country since before there was an America. So all of these different narratives that were given to us or talked about us have been very well formed throughout hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
Absolutely.
So while I'm not blaming black people for the fact that these issues and these things that Kanye has said didn't get him canceled before, I'm saying that there is a reason why. And I have actually posted on my Twitter, I'll never forget, there's one particular person, I won't bring this person's name up, but I'll never forget this. I'll never forget this in my life. Somebody who's pretty famous, very famous, that would, right after Kanye came to the office, would just hit me all the time and we would talk and go back and forth, how disappointed, how proud they were of me, blah, 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 blah. And then literally a month later, the Wyoming thing happens. When Kanye gets to go out, brings everybody out to Wyoming, right? That was May, this is June. And they're there, hanging out, partying, doing all of that. Now, look, here's my thing. I don't know if this person had had a conversation with Kanye West and had gotten more clarity on what Kanye was trying to say or what was going on, but we had never had a conversation about that. And I would think that if we had had as many conversations about the other part of it, that we would have had a conversation about that too. But I don't think it was of that. I think that what happened was that people saw what he said. They then discussed whether or not there was actually merit to it. And the discussion itself seemed to be worth the statement for a lot of people. The discussion itself, where does he have a point? Should we are we investing too much into victim trauma? Are we being a little bit too passive? Should we overthrow these things are being said. And by the way, it's there, and then it's Harriet Tubman, you know what I mean? And then it's White Lives Matter. It's all of these things, like like, you know, together. It's all of these things together, and nobody, like, he's not going to lose anything. When Kanye West wants to show up to the party, you're still going to roll out the red carpet. Unfortunately for him, the Jewish community, they don't play that shit. And
they shouldn't.
Right. They're saying, hey, and we also have to remember the blueprint. It starts with Goebbels and Hitler and the rest of these guys just talking. It starts with just talk. It starts with, hey, you know, things are fucked up after World War One. Look around, and these are the people that are responsible for that. These are the people. These are the reasons why. These are the people that did that. These are the people that are responsible for that. Boom, boom, boom. And then a rise to power as the nationalism starts to grow, as the this guy knows how to fix our society. You look around at your lot in life and you go, okay, we have an enemy now. And then before you know it, they kill 6 million people. 12 million, by the way, but 6 million Jews. So they promised their grandparents and their great-grandparents that they wouldn't let it happen again. They promised them that this wouldn't let it happen again. They promised them. They're, by doing what they're doing to culture, to Kanye West, they're fulfilling a cultural promise. And what I'm saying is, we got promises too, but we need to make sure that we fulfill them. We owe our ancestors not to let people talk shit about them. We owe our ancestors to go out there and kick some ass for freedom. We owe them in the same exact way. So I'm not saying that it's an easy thing to do. It's so many of us with so many different perspectives. But what I'm saying is, I don't think we were as mad as they were, just to be real with you.
No, there's no, we weren't.
Yeah.
We weren't. And we showed that by continuously supporting Kanye, no matter what he did, whether it was buying his clothes, buying his music, you know, supporting his school of thought. We constantly did that.
So the Donda Academy is shut down too. Okay, so they shut down everything. The Donda Academy, $15,000 school in an undisclosed area with parents signed NDAs. Don't know much about the school, but we do know that there was an email sent out and they shut down the Donda school. Okay. This is so predictable, what's happening to him. Is there a part of you that thinks that this is what he wanted? Because I watched two or three separate interviews where Kanye West delved into some of the most classic anti-Semitic rhetoric. There's just no way you think you're getting away with that. I mean, it almost seems like this is what he wanted in a way.
You're also assuming that he's of sound body and mind.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't know that. We'll never know that. If I were to guess, I would say that he wanted some of this, but not all of this. Because when he's on Drink Champs and he's shouting out, Adidas isn't gonna cancel me, no matter if I say anti-Semitic rhetoric, and then I really think he thought Adidas would not let him go. There's no, there's no way that he wants.
There's no way he thought there's, that.
Yeah. You think he thought Adidas would let him go? You think
I'm not,
he was prepared to lose that much money? I think he thought he would have been on pause. I think he thought he would have been under review. But no, we haven't seen him go to this extreme. But if history has predictive value, like it does for Kanye West, like it does where you can say these type of remarks on live TV or live to tape TV and somebody hides it for you. So if that is what history has shown you, then why would you think that now is the time it's going to happen? You've continued down this path. You yourself said that you weren't surprised by his anti-Semitic remarks because you've heard it before. And that was years ago and nothing has happened. So I find it hard to believe that Kanye West truly thought that he was going to lose all of this. So there would be backlash. There might be a couple of sponsorships. But not to this level. There's no way. There's no way. Because even now, he's starting to apologize. He's changing his tone a little bit. Not fully, a little bit. I do think that he wanted to push the envelope a little bit to be able to say, see, I told y'all that they were against me. I think there was some of that, but not to this extreme.
Where did he change his tone at?
I'm trying not to watch his interviews and stuff.
Oh, no, you guys got to watch. Before you say that he apologized, you guys got to watch the whole interviews.
Like, No.
I see people doing that. I see people doing that. And I see people clipping part. If you watch the whole Lex Fridman interview, if you watch the entire Piers Morgan interview, which I've watched them both, I watched them both a couple of times, to be honest with you.
It's just, I don't know how you
it's
do
just
that.
All, it's, I, you have to understand it's Van's devastating curiosity. He believes what he believes.
Well, I know he said, I apologize, but I stand by what I said.
Yeah.
Right. Is that not what he said of Piers?
The Piers one is one, but he just says they. Doing a whole interview where someone has to convince you why what you're saying isn't true, and you say it is true, but I'm not gonna say it. It's like saying, if me and you are talking, right, and I'm saying, well, women are bitches and sluts and hoes, let's just be honest with you. And then you're saying, well, you can't say that. Okay, well, I'm not gonna call them bitches and sluts and hoes. I'm sorry.
But I still think that.
But we know that they are. You know what I mean? So it's like
Right. Sorry, I'm not saying that he's apologizing and taking it back. I'm just saying that he's softening. And I mean that very, like, I don't mean he's taking it back or he's changed his mind. I mean, he's not saying DEFCON 3 anymore like that, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But to answer your question, to go back to that, no, I don't think that he thought this was going to happen. When I see this and knowing somebody who sat down with him and spoke to what they saw face to face, while he's doing this media tour, where are the people around him? Like, where there's not one, how can you truly say you love and you care about somebody and then watch them spiral out of control? Watch them ruin so many things that they've built and it goes away in weeks because you're just saying the most hateful things. I don't understand how you can still support this person. And I just don't understand that mentality. I really don't.
Yeah. I've also been able to kind of get a better purview about this. Is look, there's so many layers here. I've been able to get a much better purview about celebrity, about fame, about cultural allegiance. And I think that it's a time to relitigate some of those things and to think about how much our luminaries really mean to us, you know, because there's a kookiness that's going on. some of our rappers, I'm just going to be honest with you, is Kanye is a he's an extreme example. But some of our rappers age gracefully. They age beautifully. You know? Some of them age and they become socially active. They become great family men and husbands and fathers, and they become great mothers and business owners and, you know, lady moguls and all of that stuff. But some of them, in their older age, they get kooky. There's a kookiness, okay, that exists with a lot of rappers in their 40s. Kooky. Doing stuff on the gram. Kookiness. An unseriousness. Getting involved in all kinds of weird-ass activities. Getting, like beefing with all kinds of people. You shouldn't be beefing with this many people. This kooky. Sometimes it's kooky.
Beefing over what, like in the defense of Kanye?
No. I'm talking about overall whether or not we've given too much cultural currency to some of our brothers and sisters in hip hop. Whether or not we straight up care too much what they do or what they say. This is a reality. Like, you're looking around and a lot of times you can't trust the examples or the intellectual fortitude of what's coming out of their heads. And like, Kanye West is probably the biggest example of that. I don't want to go too far because it's not something I've given a ton of thought to just yet, but I was thinking about just looking at all the people, just looking at some of the, looking at like how Irv was acting, like with Ashanti, looking at all of this stuff, mm-hmm. You know, looking at these and these were titans of culture. And it was a whole time where really for my life, hip hop was such an integral part. They were really telling the stories, like they were on the forefront of some of this social revolution, right? At least what I thought was social revolution, because I looked at them as calling out the dysfunction that existed in, sure, so many Black American neighborhoods, right? I listened to them. They were talking about it. Now I wonder if I was naive. Some of them were. But some of them were just putting rhymes over beats and making money and fucking bitches. And excuse my knowledge, but that's the way it was. And my language, but that's the way it was. And now we get to a point to where we expect people in their 40s and their 50s to be more serious about the community that showed them the allegiance that we have. We expect them to be a little bit more serious. And a lot of times they aren't. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they aren't. Like a lot, yeah, of times they're not. A lot of times what we get from them is fuck Black Lives Matter. Pictures with Donald Trump, weird kind of crazy shit happening. A lot of times they aren't. And Kanye West is the worst example of it. But this, the kookiness of celebrity is in a particular place to be able to injure Black Americans because we put too much into it sometimes. And Malcolm X said that. So I'm just looking at this. And there needs to be some barriers, and there needs to be some new voices, some new people that inform us, inspire us, and push us to the next level. Like how aspirational is it to be a billionaire if Adidas can take your billionaire status in one day? Like how you guys all talk about how much money you want to have, how you want to be billionaires, right? You want to how free Kanye West was because he was a billionaire. Everybody was like, oh, he's a billionaire. You can't tell him something. They took that shit from him in one day. So how free really was he? Not that he deserved any freedom. Not that he deserved the freedom to go out and say the shit that he wanted to say, but like all of these things that we're basing on money, clout, and all that shit's not true. The things that we really should be invested into are our brains, our hearts, and the way that we relate to one another. So
yeah.
And I don't see anybody, there ain't no shoes for that. You don't get no platinum plaque for that. You know what I'm saying? You know, you don't get, you know what I'm saying? Like Anna Wintour don't give a fuck about that. So I don't know. I'm sorry. You were gonna say though?
No. You're fine. You're absolutely right. Only thing I was just gonna say. I mean, you really summed it up there. There really is nothing for me to say. But we gotta invest in us. Yeah, I think that's like the lesson. Is that not the lesson? If you're going to look at Kanye, and like you said, it's layered. If you're going to really get down to, if you can, the root of it. And like what we started talking about when we had this whole conversation of what the people are talking about, it's how the Jewish community is handling attacks against them versus how we're handling attacks. And if you look at it, we really got to have some more of a unified structure, voice, movement to uplift us and stop giving that power to so many other people to allow them, I guess, which trickles down to how we interact and think about certain things and what we value and who we uplift. We got to bring it back to us because that's exactly with what they're doing. And you see what happens and how powerful that can be when it is unified and when they do stick together. I don't know how we do that. I don't know who's going to be the person to do that for us, persons to do that for us. But I think we even had a conversation here on Higher Learning where we talked about who we not give power to, but who we admire and who we uplift. But at the end of the day, what is it that they value? And what is it that they're uplifting? We got to think about that. And we got to care.
We have to really care more.
Because there's too many people who have a conversation with each other that don't. And I get it. You can be so wrapped up in your own life and your own problems that it's hard to see the bigger picture and the greater good. But we have to. Mm-hmm. That's true.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
I know what Herschel Walker uplifts.
See what I'm saying? We gotta stop.
I know what Herschel Walker's a fan of.
My God, we gotta.
You guys, Herschel Walker is a fan of abortion. He's an abortion fan. Just here's the thing: another woman, unnamed woman, alleges that Herschel Walker pressured her into having an abortion in 1993. That's the same year Jurassic Park came out. Herschel Walker been doing this since the fucking T-Rex was stomping around. Like Herschel Walker been a fan of choice since the Velociraptor was terrifying people in theaters. Okay, I'm just saying, it's a long time, man. It's a long time. A woman who claims she was in a years-long relationship with Herschel Walker says the Republican Senate nominee pressured her into having an abortion in 1993. Her name is Jane Doe. She's going by Jane Doe. she had a press conference with Gloria Allred. Donnie, give me the sound.
In April of 1993, our client learned that she was pregnant. She was surprised. She had been on birth control throughout their entire relationship. When she told Mr. Walker that she was pregnant, he seemed shocked. She didn't know what to do. Mr. Walker clearly wanted her to have an abortion and convinced her to do so. Our client alleges that Mr. Walker gave her cash to pay for the abortion and that she went to a clinic in Dallas, Texas. However, while she was at the clinic, she became overwhelmed with emotion. She could not go through with it, and she left the clinic in tears. When Mr. Walker called that and pressured her to go back to the clinic with him the next day to go through with the abortion. The following day, Mr. Walker drove her to the clinic and waited in the parking lot for hours until the abortion was completed and she came out.
So, okay. So a lot of people are wondering, why is all of this coming out about Herschel Walker now? For the people that are wondering that, I have an answer to the question. You are stupid. I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of people, because remember, Van knows, great cross-section of people. Van, you're this is Herschel Walker. Why do you think all of this is coming out about Herschel Walker now? I just want to let you guys know you're idiots. I love you too much to mention your names. You're stupid. I told you you were stupid on the phone. You're dumb. You're a dummy. You're moronical. You're a moron. You're an imbecile. The answer is clear. Herschel Walker is running for a Senate seat as an anti-choice candidate. And there are a lot of women who feel fucking played by that. Easy. Use your thinking cap. Put it on.
What's the point of them asking you that?
The point of them asking me that is to be argumentative and to say that I am being hard on Herschel Walker for some reason, because I am, because Herschel Walker is clearly unfit to serve Georgia and he's a fucking liar.
But are those people saying it just for the sake of being argumentative, or are they saying it because they're trying to say, like, see, people come after politicians and
people come after black men when they,
As if they're trying to, but are they also, in some ways supporting him, or are they just trying to prove a bigger point of they're coming after a black man?
The conversation starts with Van. I ain't no fan of Herschel Walker, but ain't this what they do to a black man every single time? Yo, niggas, wake up.
Tell your friends to listen to the first 45 minutes of this podcast, because they have to understand. That literally goes to exactly what you were saying. That line of thinking is deeply rooted. I'm not saying that people don't attack black men in power and try to take them down, but Herschel Walker is not the hill to die on. You can't say it in general that all black men deserve that same type of support or. Yeah, you can't say that. Herschel Walker is not that person.
They deserve support, just not on some bullshit. If Herschel Walker had a fight with the NFL over some CTE shit, I would be in Herschel Walker's corner 100%. If Herschel Walker was in a fight with the NFL over his pension and how he gave his body to football, I would be with him 100%.
I'm talking about this.
That's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is, like, if the NFL was trying to smear Herschel, that's not smear. That just made me think of bagels. Bagels, which is something that I had for the first time when I was in Minnesota with my auntie Gail, and she introduced me to bagels and summer sausage. True fucking story. Don't tell me my life. Don't tell me my motherfucking with an ing life. I know my life. You guys don't know my life. So look, Herschel Walker is probably, it's probably going to come out pretty soon that Herschel Walker was himself an abortion doctor.
not funny.
I think he performed abortions. I'll be honest with you. Like, it just can't. I've never met a more choice person. Herschel Walker was single-handedly keeping Roe alive. And now he wants to take it away from everybody else because he's an imbecile. All right, let's take a break. We get back to some entertainment stuff.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. You could be doing anything this week, right? You've got work, errands, friends, and a whole lot of fun in between. That's why the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the capable SUV that's built for your life. With premium interiors, available wireless charging, and room for your whole cargo and crew. Okay, Hyundai. Visit HyundaiUSA.com to learn more about the all-new 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe.
Okay, here comes Rihanna. She's about to drop. She's about to drop. She's making her long-awaited return to music with Lift Me Up. It's the lead single for Wakanda Forever, which is a Marvel movie about an African country called Wakanda. I don't know if you've heard of it, Rachel. I know you don't see a lot of movies.
Yes. Yes, I've heard of this one.
Let's listen to a little sound from Rihanna's song, Lift Me Up.
That's it.
That's all we got?
That's it.
And I love it. Rihanna gave us nothing. She gave us nothing.
Come on.
But I'm still so excited. I'm excited still too. So excited. Only Rihanna could. I mean, Beyonce probably could too. She gave us a note and a hum. But we're ready. We are ready. Because by the time this podcast comes out, the song's out.
Song's out.
We're
by
ready.
The time this podcast comes out, I will have seen Black Panther Wakanda Forever.
You're watching tonight?
I'm going tonight. Didn't go to the premiere, but I'm.
Why didn't you go to the premiere?
I'm not in premiere mode.
I didn't go to the premiere either. Wasn't assigned.
They played you. Extra be playing the shit out of you.
Don't cut this out.
No, leave it in, man. How many did they send you to? So many movies. I bet if it was White Panther, they would have sent you to it. No, Donnie, lead us in. I'm sick of this shit. Like, how she not gonna go see it? Hold on for a second, bro. Wait a minute, we gotta do this. They playing in your face, man. How did not go
they
see
did?
You?
No, somebody black went. It just wasn't me.
Is Nate Burleson?
No, he's not with us anymore.
Oh, Nate Burleson? Oh, Nate Burleson's on Good Morning America, right?
CBS in the morning with
CBS
Dale.
In the morning. I tell you, shout out to Nate Burleson. Shout out to Michael Strahan. Shout out to all of the people for just taking Tiki Barber dreams, man. For just robbing Tiki Barber. Tiki Barber somewhere.
That's not where I thought this
was going. Tiki Barber somewhere right now, like drinking the fifth of Jack in the morning, watching Michael Strahan. He got a loose cigarette, a Marlboro Red, like Donnie is hanging out the side of his mouth. And he's like, I put on for all of these niggas.
I'll tell you exactly where Tiki is.
Where is he at?
Real Housewives of New Jersey.
I'm telling you, Tiki not fucking where he wanted to be. Shout out to Tiki, man. Tiki left. He went there. He started fucking an intern or some crazy shit. And then, like, he got the cigarette hanging out the side of his mouth. Hey, I was the first ex-football player to be on that shit. Tiki Barber is the soldier boy of ex-football players that wanted to be on news shows. I was the first. Nate Burleson. Shout out to Nate Burleson, man. I used to get him in fantasy every year because he was always dependable.
Always dependable.
Always dependable.
Yes, he used to work for Extra. He has moved on. So the CBS in the morning, sitting right next to Gayle King.
Do you want to move on to that?
I'm fine.
You good? I want to look up Nate Burleson's numbers real quick. So this is Nate Burleson's numbers. 457 career receptions. 39 touchdowns. 5,600 career receiving yards. I remember I would draft Nate Burleson in In 2004, I had him on my team, and this was the year he was very dependable. 68 receptions, 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns. Nate Burleson, man. Nate Burleson.
Did you win that year? He took you over?
No, I didn't win. I won a couple of years later with a team called Daddy's Money. And the reason why it was called Daddy's Money was because my father gave me the money to enter the fantasy team. And then I won like $2,000. I paid them back. I miss you, Dad.
The year I won was when Peyton Hillis just had like the year. Mm. Remember that?
Yeah.
The year on the cover of Madden. I had him that year, won the whole league. I was the commissioner that year. It's like I could see it. I knew. I never won after that.
I called Peyton Hillis when I was at TMZ. Like, I called Peyton Hillis to get his opinion on the Madden curse. Mm-hmm. And when I called him up, he answered the phone. I was like, hey, man, TMZ Sports, hey, how you doing? He's like, yo, we're doing a story on Madden and the Madden curse. I was wondering if that's something you think is real. The nigga hung up the phone in my face. How dare you?
I mean, that was the I would hung up to. He's like, of course it's real. Look at me. I'm living proof.
He said that?
No, I'm just saying that's probably what he thought.
Yeah.
He would never to be heard from again, it felt like. Mm. Never.
Brittany Griner's appeal rejected in the Russian court. Her sentence has been upheld. This is something that was pretty much expected. It's obvious now that getting Brittany Griner home is going to take coordination between the United States government and the Russian government. The Russian legal system is not going to be responsible for releasing Brittany Griner, commuting her sentence, changing her sentence. If it's left up to them, she's going to be in jail for 9 years. Your thoughts when you saw this?
No, I mean, you already said it. Sadly, I guess I already thought this had happened. The Russian legal system has shown us nothing but that they are trying to, they want her convicted. She seems to be a political prisoner. She's going to sit in jail for a while. It didn't seem like any effort that was done by our government, whoever else was in the fight to bring her home, was helping. They had already made their minds up the moment that they arrested her. Sadly. I mean, it's really a sad story. We've talked about it here. We've gone back and forth. We've litigated the whole issue. But at the end of the day, it's just sad. She's got a family. She's alone over there. She feels completely neglected by everyone. And you can't blame her for that. I really don't have anything else to say. That it really is sad what's happening to her and what seems to be her fate when it comes to having to sit out her time over there in prison.
Do you see a solution?
No. Do you?
Not one that I can think of.
I feel like,
I mean, I
know people are mad at Biden, but I feel like, or the administration, but I feel like they've done everything that they could.
Well, we wouldn't know if they've done everything they could. We know that they've said they've done everything they could. I guess that depends on how much you trust them.
If I'm taking them for their word,
if you're taking them at their word. But no, it seems like it's going to take something. It takes something pretty incredible to make it happen. But the one thing that can't happen is people can't do what we tend to do about other issues. You can't just forget about it. Forgetting about Brittany Griner at this point is going to, you're sentencing her by forgetting about her, because if people forget, then I assure you that the administration and anybody else working on this will forget too. So don't let Brittany Griner be sentenced twice, sentenced by the Russians and then sentenced by us. If we forget, then she will stay there for the entire 9 years.
Hmm.
All right, Donnie, mailbag. Mailbag time. Time to read your letters and then we'll reply to them. Oh, it's mailbag time. Write us with your queries and we'll chime in.
All right. First one is from Hot Girl in ATT on Reddit. She asks, what is one thing Black people created or made popular that you wish we could take back from the world and keep for ourselves?
You know, I bet that's Hot Girl Nat.
Oh, that, or she could work for AT&T.
If she works for AT&T.
Let me look at it. Hold on.
Is it Hot Girl Nat or Hot Girl in ATT? I've never known anybody to have that much
company pride. You,
Donnie, it's definitely Hot Girl Nat. I just looked at the name.
Look, man, it's early.
No, Donnie, it's almost afternoon where you are.
Where you are. Stop capping, Donnie. Stop capping.
Hot Girl in ATT, let us know how to pronounce your Reddit name on Reddit.
One thing that Black people made popular. What a good question. That we would have kept to ourselves. Maybe TikTok dances. Let me tell you why. Of all the things recently that Black people have given to the world that's been stolen, people don't put TikTok dances up there with rock and roll, but it's getting close. I'm not joking. TikTok is a place that's like, has a bevy of content, right? But the dances made TikTok hot. The dances made TikTok catch on. TikTok is used all over the place by all over, but the dances made stars out of like little white girls and stuff like that. And I would have liked to see TikTok get its footing without it. All these Black creators out there on TikTok doing their thing.
So is the bigger answer our culture?
No, because we got to have our culture, because our culture is the way we celebrate and the way we
that. But like those things.
How can we keep our culture to ourselves, though? Like we have to. What are you talking about?
The little thing. Like, I think of dances. I think of braids. I think the way we wear our hair.
Dance. Rachel,
the way
we don't dance, act, we're gonna go crazy.
The way we dance. The way I thought this question was going at first, I wasn't reading it, I was listening. And I thought it was Black people can take back. And I thought I was about to be like Kanye. And then you said to keep for ourselves. And I was like,
All right, Steve. All right, Donnie, next one.
All right. Cantaloupe Steve on Reddit asks, would you two be open to a pet swap where you both would take care of each other's pets for a weekend? If so, how do you think it would go?
Great for
me. Absolutely.
Great for us. Terrible for Rachel and Brian.
That's not true. Bozeman's been over here. I'm very familiar with Bozeman. I'm almost considering myself to be a dog whisperer at this point. Mm-hmm. Bozeman would sleep in the bed with us. He would be totally fine. Mm-hmm. God, I'd be fine. Bozeman's
sleeping in the bed right now. I got up to come in here, and Bozeman was like, yo, it's way too early for you to be disturbing me, nigga.
Yeah, Bozeman would be fine with us.
Copper's easy. Me and Copper would sit down.
Copper is easy.
Me and Copper would sit down. He'd sit right next to me on the couch. I would order some wings. I'd eat a wing. I'd give Copper a wing. We'd watch some football. It'd be easy. Bozeman would drive them crazy, throwing the ball, licking, like the endless need for affection. Like Bozeman just looks at you. Bozeman walks into the room and he looks at you and he goes, you need a hug. and then he just walks up and jumps onto the couch. He's 92 pounds, jumps onto the couch and puts all his weight on you and just collapses.
I'd love every bit of it. Bozeman would be great. He would do great here. All right, one more,
Donnie.
All right, last one is from Vinny Vitti Vici on Instagram. He or she asks, Van's alma mater is playing Jackson State and College Game Day is pulling up this weekend. Is there another personality you feel has this type of impact to keep helping HBCU athletics get these types of looks?
You mean other than Deion Sanders?
Yeah.
No. Deion Sanders is the greatest ambassador in the history of the HBCU. And that's with all due respect to legends like Coach Eddie Robinson Sr. That's with all due respect to all of the fantastic HBCU coaches, faculty, legends that have come before Deion Sanders. But Deion Sanders is single-handedly telling the story of the HBCU in terms of athletics in a way that has never been told before, ever. It's just a fact.
But the question is there another personality you feel can have this? So if somebody else, because Deion didn't go to an HBCU, so if somebody else said, you know what, I'm going to go back and I'm a coach at an HBCU, I'm going to give back. Mm-hmm. Is there another? I think there are definitely other people that could do it if they actually did it. He's the one who's doing it now. Imagine if Michael Jordan said, I want to go back and I want to coach and I want to do that. You don't think that wouldn't have some type of impact?
I'll be honest with you. It would, but Deion resonates a different way in culture than even Michael Jordan, because Deion...
And coach, I get you.
Yeah, Deion has... Michael Jordan is the biggest star, whatever, so what you're saying is true. But Deion has a ministry to young black men that did not just start with
That's
him.
That's true.
Deion coached... at the high school level, coached his kids. Deion took an interest. Like, this is the culmination of a journey for Deion Sanders that's been going on for a long time now. And I think
that
lends an authority to it. I mean, what you're saying is obviously very true. And if, you know, if I don't know, if Leonardo DiCaprio decided he wanted to be a white person, you know what I mean? The head coach. It would be so funny. Leonardo DiCaprio as the head coach at Grambling. You know what I mean? If he wanted to do that, obviously. But what I'm telling you is right now, I've never seen anything like this before. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And what he's doing. And, you know, so I can't
Game
do anything.
Day? That's a big deal.
I can't do anything but give love and reverence to what Deion Sanders has done for the HBCU. All right. Do you have an unexpected ally of the week?
I do.
Who is it?
I do. New Yorkers. Mm-hmm. Ted Cruz recently went to baseball game. Mm-hmm. And the way the New Yorkers stripped him down, calling him out of his name, I would not necessarily condone this for everybody, telling him to get out of their stadium, out of their city, out of their state, because of what his values are. They didn't want somebody like him there. I loved every bit of the way they stripped him down. So my unexpected ally of the week are the New Yorkers who booed and criticized and yelled at Ted Cruz to get the fuck out of their stadium.
Fuck you, you racist piece of shit! Fuck you! Fuck you, man!
You suck!
It's amazing.
You fucking suck, dude!
They're like 10 feet away from him yelling this. I love it.
All right. I gotta go. We gotta go. Rachel's gotta go.
Oh, that you don't have. Yes, Rachel's gotta go. Yeah, guys. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Take your thing caps off and do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan Jr.
I'm Rachel and Lindsay. Bye, guys.